Every day alone, my heart is breaking. My baby, what am I to do? Yeah. The come and go won't justify your love for me. Take a break, need you, baby. Dedicate your mind to me, boy. I think it's time you recognize you learned from me to press pause and recline in the present time of you and I. Watch the sun trade the moon for the sky. Lonely nights, they take me. Oh, you. Oh, you. Oh, oh, yeah. Cause everything is possible when you and I are cut alone. I think about you, baby, baby, more than I should say. But if I must hold back from you, then maybe what we have ain't true. You're painting. I'm with you, time isn't of an essence, babe. Every second is a blessing. Love, it's got to be. You make all of me shine a little bit different. And I'm with you, time isn't of an essence, my baby.
WMFO in Medford, Sky by here. This is Rising. This is a song by a band called, well, it's not a band. The guy's name is Bob Mould. This is something by Bob Mould. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, that was Bob Mould with a song called Hold On. Right now, though, I have Ruby Rose Fox with me.
Hey there. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks so much for coming in. We're here to talk basically about her CD, Domestic. But I want to go back a little bit in time about how this whole thing got started. If any of this information is wrong, let me know. But I heard you were in a band in high school, a ska band.
Yeah.
Mass Hysteria. And then... You did some time at Emerson, right?
Yeah. Wow, you're good. You're a sleuth.
And now that morphed into this.
Yeah. So, yeah.
A little bit of the process of how you got to the Ruby Rose currently, what you're doing now.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I was in a ska band, traditional ska, bunch of Jewish white kids from Brooklyn.
Yep.
So that's really when I learned what a band was and how to be in a band and what it's like. And,
right.
And it was an exciting time. It was like, it was, you know, ska hadn't totally died and it was kind of partner with the punk scene and the hardcore uh-huh. scene. But I ended up studying acting and theater at Emerson, thinking that I would make a career out of being a straight actor, performer. Didn't really think about music at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started writing one-woman shows and kind of realized that I was unhappy just doing what I was doing and finding myself playing the same roles all over and over and sort of creatively dissatisfied. So
you have a lot of singles that you put out prior to this. What was the thing that said, let me do a full length, let me...
Yeah, well... I think musically, and musically it was all over the place. I mean, I think my voice is distinctive, but there wasn't quite a sound, I think, that there is now. And yeah. I wanted to challenge myself to say, hey, let's write a body of work that makes sense together, that I can hand to someone and say, this sounds like me.
Yeah. Do you, I know this David Brophy guy.
Yeah.
Do you do all the writing or is it a collaborative effort or how does that work?
We're co-writers and on this particular project, all my previous stuff I've written on my own. He pretty much exclusively writes the instrumentation and he'll send me like a track that's almost totally produced.
Yeah.
And I'll fill it in with harmonies and melodies and lyrics.
So is it kind of like an Elton John Toppin thing?
It's exactly like that. And we don't speak about it. We don't even discuss it.
I hear they don't either. Because I had a kid named Chris Rogers in a few weeks ago. He's I don't know if you heard of him, but he's a huge Elton John guy. And he said that I think Toppin used to send it, and Elton John never changed a thing.
Yeah.
Just, and vice versa. I'm sure they just...
It's weird how close our relationship is to that one, because I've heard about them the way that they work, and it's actually really similar. We'll send it back and forth, so he'll add things once he hears what I made, and then he'll send it back and see if I want to adjust,
tweak it.
But it really leaves room for creative space, and I'm not that good at collaborating on songwriting, just because I don't really know where it comes from half the time. I really like the way that we work. Yeah.
I didn't know for the longest time, and that's, I forget who told me that, but I was a big Elton John fan. I'm going back a few years because I'm no kid. And then someone told me, that's an interesting, you don't see that a whole lot, I don't think, where one guy or girl writes the lyrics and then one exclusively does music.
Yeah.
But it works. It works for them.
Yeah. It depends on, I mean, it's all about what works for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to come, you have a couple shows. We're going to talk about the shows. But
sure.
First, I'm going to play something off of Domestic.
Oh, 1 week, 3 days, 5 seconds since I broke the system. The committee's losing their minds, and I'll be fine. But now there's one thing I know you don't know. Hey, there's one thing I know you don't know. Ronald Reagan killed the radio. Ronald Reagan killed the radio. Mr. Gorbachev, can I make a deal with you under the table? Mr. Gorbachev, can I make a deal with you under the table? I gave you a piece, you said you'd sign the lease. From me, I don't want it anymore. 'Cause now there's two things I know you don't know. Farmer's Almanac says there'll be snow. Ronald Reagan killed the radio. Ronald Reagan killed the radio.
Okay, Ruby Rose Fox, that was Ronald Reagan, killed the radio. Before that, we heard Rock Bottom, right? I think I played Rock Bottom.
Yeah, Rock Bottom.
So we touched on a lot of topics on this CD. We just played something about Reagan. I think I'm going to play something later on that alludes to, you'd call it abuse of in relationships and whatnot. So did you have a hard time putting both of those in the same work, so to speak, or was that just important topics that you felt you should write about?
What, domestic violence and...
And like a Reagan thing?
Oh,
and,
you know, like the, so I'll just tell you.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, So I had been in an abusive relationship and sort of in a I guess I would call it a recovery period. I don't know if I was even healing yet.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge documentary fan, and I never was a history fan though, but I started just getting obsessed with history
I used to love history.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, and right now, I mean, it's all at the tip of our fingers. Mm-hmm. There's so many incredible ways to educate yourself, but I started getting obsessed with the Cold War because it most mirrored my relationship, and I saw all these parallels between the U.S. and Russia and my relationship. And I started seeing it as sort of like a macro and microcosm. And it helped me. I was just trying to figure it out. And so I was not only researching and curious about what happened during, you know, everything from Kennedy to Reagan. Yeah. But I was feeling a lot. And so I was connecting really intensely to the storytelling of it, which I think if I hadn't needed that, I would have thought it was interesting, but I don't think I would have felt the history as much as I did. So it's all kind of jammed together, and it's hard to take them apart.
Right.
Yeah.
And you do have, to line it up a bit, you do have a record release show at the Middle East.
Yeah, on June 3rd.
Go ahead.
So it's Jeremy and the Harlequins, Julie Rhodes, and Weekend Friends.
We were talking off here. I've seen Jeremy and the Harlequins. They're fantastic. I saw them at a weird venue. I saw them at the Plow and Star, which is like, I don't know. I don't know how they have it holds, the capacity is probably like 35.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's teeny.
But I liked them from what I saw, and I'd love to see them in a bigger room. The Middle East should be fantastic.
It's so cool you were at that show. I bet they'd get a kick out of it.
Yeah, well, I was right next to the guy. You can't help it. Right there. He was on top of me. And of course, I know about Weekend Friends, the Rumble.
Yes,
almost,
yes, they're awesome.
I don't know anything about Julie Rhodes.
Yeah, blues. Super, super great, powerful voice, so.
And do you who threw this together? Was it your
crew?
That
was me. Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I was psyched to... I think originally I wanted to have a bill with all women singers.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Close.
I thought it was close. But it was nice to balance it out a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to play something else off Domestic. I forget what I have lined up, but you can hear something off Domestic and we'll come back and talk some more.
it is 3 a.m. You're there fishing in the sea. You smell like a whale and you're lit like a Christmas tree. You're so in love with her. Why are you calling me? You wanna see her. You got a purple heart. Well, I'm a prisoner of war. Well, I ordered my own today. It'll be delivered by four. Don't wanna salute to you anymore. You wanna see a bag of counter money. You wanna see a prophet shoot their own gambling. You just say her name again, and I might go on dim. I guess I put on quite a show. I guess I made a spectacle. It wasn't me, it was a bad case of vertigo. So you just give my regards. She'd never let me go. I guess I put on quite a show. It wasn't me, it was a bad case of vertigo. So you just give my regards to her, 'cause I'm your
All right, that was Entertainer, Ruby Rose Fox. Before that, Every Time I Tell, Ronald Reagan Killed the Radio, Rock Bottom. We played all those things off of her new CD, Domestic, which isn't out yet, but very shortly, right?
Very soon, yeah. On the 24th, it'll be on iTunes. So.
And I love the fact that you put something on CD and album, because I'm one of those old school people. I like looking at the album covers or CD covers and reading liner notes and whatnot, and artwork. Like, I think the artwork on this thing is fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, that was...
And a lot of times bands just download things now, which, I mean, I know it's, you know, it takes money to make CDs and albums and whatnot, but I think it's great that you put both formats out there. I know vinyl's making a comeback.
Yeah, we're doing vinyl too, so yeah. That'll be fun to see it all. Yeah, I mean, everything's so not physical.
Yeah.
It's actually funny, you know, I sent out a bunch of radio, and it turns out that most stations actually still want physical copies. I think, you know, it's like everybody's emails or boxes are getting filled up, and it's nice to just touch something and feel something and see something.
It's kind of like a divide. The younger kids tend to just download, although I think they're starting to listen to vinyl too now.
They are, yeah. It's big.
And I know you have. I know you have a massive group that's on stage with you every night.
Yeah.
Do you want to intro them? Or,
oh, sure.
Like, do you ever say, okay, am I forgetting somebody?
Oh, yeah, like, I always forget somebody. Yeah, but there's
the key players.
So, of course, we have drummer, co-writer David Rothy, Tony Severino and John Bragg on guitar, Matt Gerard on bass. We have Josh Friedman on keys. And, of course, we have the glorious Steinems, Mally Smith, Colleen McNamara, and Julia Mark. Almost all of them are songwriters in town, and they're just,
yeah,
they're just the best team, really.
You see a lot of that. A lot of the bands I follow, even now, they're in like Anthony Kaczynski, I don't know if I gotta say his last name, he's in like four bands, but I see a lot of that.
Everybody's in four bands, I would say.
So I'm like, they're out, must be out like three or four nights a week doing shows and whatnot. It's crazy, but yeah. But I'm gonna play something. One of your early releases that is one of my favorites. And I was talking again off here. I first saw you at the Sinclair a while ago. And I think I knew of the name because you were getting a lot of buzz. You had the Boston Music Award, 2000, was it 14?
It was 2014.
I think on my side I said 15, but it was 14.
Oh, it's both actually.
Is it? Won,
yeah, we won this year.
Oh, okay.
For the same award. So that's
all
okay.
Right. So that works.
And yeah, it works.
And the Improv magazine, you've garnered a lot of awards over the past couple of years.
It's been good few years.
It's been a good run.
Yeah.
But this is Blue Angel, which is one of your earlier stuff that I like a lot.
Better stop and ask Blue Angel to put your body down. You better stop.
TV.
Okay, that was Die Pretty, right?
Yeah, Die Pretty.
Blue Angel, I played that before, I think.
Blue Angel, you're correct.
We went off the domestic thing for a while, played some earlier work. We're going to get back to domestic one more time before we bow out. But you also have a solo gig up in Rockport.
Yes, with Magic Dick from
Jay Giles.
Giles, yeah. So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can just be you on the piano?
Yeah, just me on the piano trying to
bang it out.
Wheel my goods. So.
Rockport. When I was a youngster, I used to go to Rockport a lot with my family. Bearskin Neck and whatnot. It's nice. Have you ever been up there?
I don't think so, but
it's a nice
I heard
area.
That it's... I heard this particular venue
kinda
is really
quaint.
Beautiful.
Very
yeah,
quaint.
Yeah.
And I've never been up there to see a show, but that should be fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll go to the beach before.
Nice. Yeah, we're finally warming up.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But again, I want to thank you for coming in. And I was telling you off here, when I've gone to a lot of shows, the two shows I've seen you at were well attended, but I've been to shows, I've been going for a long time, and these bands are up there, they're wailing away, they're giving it their all, and the room isn't packed, it's like, sometimes quarter full.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel bad for them. And I'm like, damn, this place should be packed. This is a great band. So early on, it must be hard. And I think it's a good thing that you guys and gals persevere. And what helps you just say, you know, I got to, like when it's not that, what you expect as far as an audience goes, but you still got to obviously play your best and you know, go on and not get discouraged.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you got to read every self-help book that you can get your hands on.
Because
it is, I mean, you're right. It's super brutal.
Yeah.
A lot of shows are can be hard. I mean, I'm super grateful that recently we've had nothing but really great shows. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it can be super hard and you just have to go and play your bum off. And
I used to go see a girl who used to come up from the DC area. Her name was Mary Prankster, and there were, again, it was another thing where there were never any. I think my wife and I, Trisha, went, and there were like four people at the club that just shut down. TT's.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and so I used to see her a lot, and after one of the shows I was like, so what's going on with the? She said, "You know, Boston's a tough nut to crack."
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe it is. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, when you go to the South, I mean, it's culturally different. You know, you go out, you go see live music, you go dancing.
Well, like Europe. Know? Europe is crazy, I guess.
Yeah, Europe is crazy. They love live
Spain,
music.
Spain, Italy. Like
they
a
love
lot of
new
local,
music,
yeah.
too. They love, I mean, my best friend from high school came to the Rumble. She's lived in England. And, you know, she felt like a lot of the music she was hearing would be considered cover bands.
Yeah.
In the UK. And that their ears are just open and they want to hear new stuff. They don't want to hear the same bands over and over and over.
Right. The Rumble was pretty, I went to a couple nights. Actually, it was a pretty good crowd this year, the Rumble.
It was really successful. I'm really psyched for Angel that all went so well, considering it was a brand new venue.
Right. Yeah, I like that room, though.
Me too. And I think it's, for me, I mean, I've heard a lot of criticism about it, but for me, I like it because it just feels like a rock and roll, like...
It's got a good, the stage is elevated.
VFW, whatever. It feels real. It feels like something real will happen in that space, whereas a lot of spaces now are just feel very corporate. So I love it. I love that feeling, you know?
Mm. Are you gonna go outside the with this... Is this going to be like a tour where you're going to go outside New England?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how or when, but it will happen this year or I will be dead.
This year
I'll
bust.
To get out. Yeah, yeah. I'm just so at the point that we have to go.
Yeah. Well, you're on the right track. I think this is a fantastic CD.
Thank you.
Album.
So
whatever
much.
You choose to purchase. Of it, I suggest you go to the show on the 3rd, right?
Yeah, the 3rd of June.
I've seen three of those bands, including obviously yours, and they're all fantastic. But I'm going to close with, I'm going to play a couple more from Domestic, and then I'll probably just play stuff off the system here. But thanks again, Ruby Rose,
for
coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem. I enjoyed it. And this is, I think we're going with, I don't know, Dirty Dog, or did we just play that?
No, we can do Dirty Dog. That's a good one. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Domestic. Thanks.
Matchy. The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
All right, that was Face to Face with Laurie Sargent. Ruby's still here.
Hey there.
We were just chatting and whatnot about the scene, the music scene in Boston, and a bunch of topics, actually.
Yeah.
But I got to get out of here. It's 8:58. Someone's supposed to be coming in 2 minutes. I'm going to throw something in quick here. And
better be a punk song. 2 minutes on.
Yeah, I don't actually know if it is. They can just gas it if they want. I'll know in a minute how long it runs. It might be close to three, but not a big deal. Once again, though, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
2:50, yeah, 3 minutes. That's good.
I'll fend them off for you.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I'll be at the show. See you at the middle.
Oh, awesome. That's so great.
That's a no-brainer for me, and yeah, I'm sure it'll be well-attended, but you should get out there. It's a great lineup, but... Thanks.
Thank you so much.
See you next week. And this is something from the Backseat Angels piece.